Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, they talk a lot about bringing San Siro down. I don't think they could physically bring it down.
Yes. You're right. Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football. This is episode number 49. There are loads in the archive for you to go and have a listen to. And I'm going to go straight off with a long review, but one, if you're listening for the first time, will hopefully make you stay. And if you've been here all the way with us or joined halfway or whatever, we'll chime with you. It's not easy to get reviews like this. I've been looking around at some of the other, you know, some of the other big hitters, and a lot of their reviews are pish, to be honest. Anyway, part of the parish. This is from B. Seams on 22nd of the 3rd, 2024. I think it was Owen last year who wrote a piece about a pub he'd worked in during his formative years. It was me. It was in the Hattrick, our newsletter, which is available to subscribe to. It talked about the characters that you'd find there day in, day out. They were all characters that I could relate to, having met them over the years. Admittedly, they did all have their own quirks, but none of that kind of mattered. They cared for you and you cared for them. This is true. I get a similar feeling from the podcast. Lots has already been said about how it feels like you're listening to a group of mates, and that couldn't be more true. One of the most exciting bits every Thursday is finding out who's going to be on. I like this. Who will I get to listen to as I head home on a Thursday? Brackets. I always save RYWYLF for the end of the day to finish on a high. Close brackets. Normally, inconsistency is seen as a flaw, but here it works brilliantly. Welcome to Mundial, mate. When Seb opens the podcast, you know the tone will be perhaps more conciliatory than one chaired by Owen, brackets, a.k.a. the benevolent dictator. Full stop. If Owen has the reins, you know he'll take the mick out of the others, brackets, mainly James. James offers a more discerning thematic view of football. Oh, my God. And, you know, if Assad's on, then the passion levels will skyrocket.
Discerning and thematic.
The one constant, other than Tankman, is Tommy, who seems to play a dual role. He clearly does the unseen work of pulling the pod together, but he also softens the group as a whole. He laughs at everything, and I mean everything. So if you're not into hearing a heavy smoke and laugh, then don't listen. I, however, love it. It rounds out the whole experience. Everyone has that mate who laughs at everything. For me, those mates can lift a group with their infectious giggle. Mm. As well as all of the thoroughly interesting and fun football stories that you hear on the pod, the lads have created a product that makes you feel like the sixth member of a friendship group that you meet every week. Sometimes the oldies can't make it because of parenting duties. I'm sure they mean me by that. Sometimes some of them are away for work. And that's all fine because you know that one of the others in the group will step up and guide the conversation using the universal language of football. It's not seamless and even less so perfect. All right, mate. But I listen religiously because I feel part of something. I've never been able to say that about a podcast before. And frankly, the last time I properly said that was when I was playing regularly in team sports at university. It really is a pleasure to be part of this parish where the best bits aren't the sermons, they're the catch-ups in the pub afterwards. Well, that's nice, isn't it?
Who wrote that?
B. Seams.
That is a wonderful review.
B. Seams. Long review.
Cheers, B. Seams. That's lovely, isn't it?
Talking of...
It must be nice because you haven't made a joke about being someone related to us.
I'm not that guy anymore.
Spit it out, Seb. Hello and welcome to a three-person reminding you why you love football today. Tommy Stewart is currently stuck on a train somewhere between Rugby and London. sweating like a pig. But on this day in 1991, on the day this podcast is released, Thiago Alcantara was born. Now, a man who has brought lots of joy to football fans the world over, most notably for that video of him and someone else hitting volleys to each other in Spain training. It's not Rodri. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's great. Also, as a Liverpool supporter, although he's been injured for a while now, he's done a few. He's a wonderful player. Apart from that season where he was playing his defensive midfield quite a lot and just bringing people down left, right and centre, but an ability to do things and see things that other players can't see.
Thiago Alcantara.
Oh, is that the... Anyway,
but I'm not going to talk about Thiago. I'm going to talk about his father, Mazinho, who, if you don't know it, was the third wheel in the Rocking the Baby celebration with Bebeto and Romario at USA 1994. Left back, who then went into midfield. But this led to me thinking, because his name isn't Mazinho, that's a nickname. And this led to me thinking about Brazilian nicknames. And so, I've done a Brazilian nickname for everyone.
Now,
I did it on your actual name.
Bedinho.
No. I put them into a generator.
Oh.
So your first one, I put James Bird, number 7. Yep. You are Becker.
Oh, yeah.
James Becker Bird.
Does it give a reason why?
Or? Nope. No, it's not that advanced. It looks like Internet 1.0, but it works.
It works.
And then your second one is Goblaro.
That's
which I thought you
good.
Might like. Goblaro. I put the goblin in, obviously. Then we've got Seb's first one, big number 4, Whitinho Santos.
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
I thought you'd like.
Not big. Yeah. But if the ball comes to his feet.
That's really good.
Silk.
I might get that.
And for some reason, they really wanted you to be a Santos. So when I put Tankman in, you're Meta Santos.
Meta Santos. Oh, that doesn't sound quite as
good. Whitinho Santos.
Whitinho Santos.
Whitinho Santos is really funny.
Seb Whitinho Santos White.
Still playing for Flamengo at 48.
Yeah.
Me, I am my normal one, my Owen Blackhurst is Black Ecker 10.
Oh,
which
I like
is pretty
that.
Good. Which is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as good as Dictatezo, though.
Yes, that's
if you're
good.
A first time listener. Some of the listeners like to call me the benevolent dictator. Dictatezo 10. Look at that.
That's really good.
Tommy's not here.
An ill fated move to Southampton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy's not here, but I did his, quite unkindly, I did his first one as 13 because I think he'd be the subkeeper. And he became as Taro da Costa, which doesn't really make any sense.
No. Quite good as well.
But then I gave him the number 1 and he is Guseca.
Guseca, that's good. Guseca. Yeah. He'd love that.
Born in Sao Paulo, one of 15.
Yeah. That's quite good, that, isn't it?
Yeah, the one bit of fun I had at work yesterday was doing that. Anyway, so those are the people who are with me today.
Whitinho Santos,
and what was your goblin one?
Let's go.
Goblaro.
Dictatezo. Goblaro. Whitinho Santos. We are 4.9 on Apple, 5-star on Spotify. More than most of your other favourite podcasts, if you have one anymore. And we are also part of the Acast Creator Network. We're a man down. We're going to have to all pull our bloody socks up.
Still nil-nil.
Let's go. Adventures in Clubland. Today, James Paul Christian Goblaro Bird. Where are we going, Jim?
All right. Well, this week we are going to Italy.
No way.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You.
Yeah, we're going to.
You.
Going to the north, to the industrial north.
Which is where you'd come from.
Which,
I know you like to think you're of the south, but look at you. You are northern Italian.
I actually think that Milan, the city that Milan reminds me most of is Birmingham.
Neymar.
Reminds me a lot of Birmingham.
And remarkably, you want to move there. You're mad cunt.
Grey, foggy, industrial heartlands. So we're going to Milan. We're going to Milan very, very recently, 2021 to 2023. And an old man called Edin Dzeko. Ooh. Heads north from Rome after 5 years in Rome.
And let's have it right here. His deeds at Roma came as a bit of a surprise. I think it's, you know, a lot of people would expect him to sort of leave City and it would be a bit of a pick up a bit of cash in Italy, have a few nice years, but fucking hell, he scored some goals in Rome, didn't he?
Scored some goals. He was top scorer in Serie A. He actually became whilst he was at Roma.
What's the name of the top scorer in Serie A?
Capocannieri. Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting that I know that, not the Italian speaker.
I know it, I just don't know how to pronounce it.
Really?
At Roma, he becomes the first striker to score 50 goals in 3 of the different top European leagues.
Oh.
He scored 50 for Wolfsburg. He also won the Bundesliga at Wolfsburg.
Yeah.
50 at Manchester City and obviously won the Premier League there. And he also scored 50 goals in the league at Roma.
And finished 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so let's take it back very briefly before he goes to Rome. He's at Manchester City. And I think that
he is vastly underrated for his impact at the club and also his technical ability in the Premier League. Everyone forgets, because obviously you focus on the Sergio Aguero goal against QPR to win the Premier League in the 2012 season. He scores the equaliser in the 92nd minute, nice. Just a couple of minutes before Aguero. A gigantic leap of a header from 6 yards out. Yeah. And because all of the supercuts of Premier League moments head straight to Aguero's winning goal, people forget his role in that.
And I think, narrative, mate. This is a conversation for a separate time. And I think I've got it as a note somewhere. But it's the endless need for narrative.
Yeah,
and people deciding what people get to remember.
Yeah, I think we spoke about ghost goal, ghost games a couple of weeks ago. I think this is a ghost goal. I think if you asked the vast majority of avid football watchers what happened 5 minutes before Aguero scores, they wouldn't be able to tell you that Zeko equalised.
No, there's been a lot of football since then. Anyway,
there has.
Milan.
So Zeko heads to Milan the summer of 2021. This is Inter Milan. In transition, they are changing things up big time. So Simone Inzaghi, this is his first season at the club. Now, if you think about Inter Milan of the last sort of 2, now 3 years, this is the start of something new, start of something exciting. Immediately, they start playing that 5-3-2 formation with wing backs. And of course, who is brilliant in the box, receiving crosses from players out wide, is Edin Dzeko. So there's a big change. Incoming that season is the backbone of what will be a very successful Inter Milan team. You've got Darmian, you've got Turkish midfielder Kaan Oğlu, you've got Denzel Dumfries, the right wing back. Outgoing are some old heads, Nainggolan, Kondreva, Ashley Young, and this is also the summer where Lukaku goes back to Chelsea for, 113 million euros. So Dzeko heads to Inter Milan as the sort of spearhead of a new team, a new exciting way of playing for this young manager who's come across from Lazio. And they announce him with, have you ever seen the announcement video for Dzeko? So his nickname immediately is Il Cigno di Sarajevo. It's the Swan.
Amazing.
The Swan, you know, elegant, big, good at flying.
Yeah.
And they announce him with this sort of like comic strip animation of Dzeko scoring goals for Wolfsburg, scoring goals for Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Well, he even has wings drawn on him, doesn't he?
Has some wings of them. Drawn on him.
The Swan wings.
Wow, this is great.
To be fair, I think it's really good.
It's so good. It's so fucking good.
Looks like him as well, which a lot of illustrators don't always get right.
Yes.
Wolfsburg.
Yeah.
He looks fucking great there. Oh, yeah, look
there's
at that.
There's the header. There's the header.
Yeah, exactly.
Oosh. No, they're keeping these wings whatever, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
It's like Flash Gordon.
There he is, flying into San Siro.
Like Brian Blessed.
Get ready for the Swan of Sarajevo. And they had that snaky kit, didn't they, as well? Then?
Yes, the Swan of Sarajevo.
Oh, the flight of the Swan they've got there. And it's him.
It's actually him at the end as well.
I am Edin. I'm Inter.
Now, that's taken a while, that, isn't it? That doesn't.
It's good.
Happen in a couple of days.
And what's interesting is that he actually played a friendly for them before he properly signed. So before that announcement video went out, he played a pre-season friendly. Now, this is Edin Dzeko at 30 fucking five as well. This isn't a young man. And Owen, like you said about when he left to go to Roma, is this someone looking to calm down, chill out a bit, head out to Serie A as a lot of players do?
How old are you now?
I'm 33.
This could be advice for yourself, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Head up to Milan.
Calm down. Chill out. Stop spooking around outside pubs, smoking, nicking roll-ups on people. Just chill out, brother. Time to chill out, Birdo.
It happens. But he hits the ground fucking running.
Other cliches are available for a new signing.
Yeah. Or should I say he hits the air seamlessly.
The Swan.
He gains.
The Swan
he gains.
Flight.
He gets off to a good start.
He gets uplift. First season, Inter Milan win 2 trophies. They win the Coppa Italia and they win the Supercoppa, and they win them both against Juventus in extra time. Which,
good,
if you're going to win
a
domestic Italian trophy,
you
want it to be against Juventus in extra time.
Yeah, that's
Well, it's the Derby dell'Italia, isn't it?
It is, yeah. If you look through the goals, I think he scored 17 goals in that first season. He also had the most appearances of any midfielder or attacker. He scores 17 goals, 49 appearances, I think it
Pretty
is,
good,
which is the most of any of the midfield or attackers. And, you know, the attackers include Lautaro Martinez.
Yeah.
He's playing with good players. And second season, Inter look to build on it. They're poorer in Serie A, and this is obviously the season where Napoli just go ham.
A freak season.
Mm. It is a freak season, which we know when you look at the Serie A table now, you can sort of see how mad last season was. And this is only last season we're talking about. But of course, that year, they get to Champions League semi-finals against AC Milan. And I was lucky enough to go. And watching Edin Dzeko...
Forget Dzeko for a minute, because there's a lot of people listening to this who will never go to a Milan derby, not least in a Champions League semi-final. And there's people who will never go to San Siro. I'm lucky enough to have been to it. I know Seb's been to it. I've been inside it, outside it, both as a kid and as an adult.
Well, they talk a lot about bringing San Siro down and building a new one. When you come out of that metro station and you see San Siro in the distance, I don't think they could physically bring it down.
You're right. It That's looks fucking rock hard, doesn't it? Can you imagine if all the stadiums across the world, right, like went like fucking Transformers into fucking like figures?
Yes.
Yeah.
San Siro wins. Molyneux.
Yeah.
Wish Park.
Yeah. The Bombonera would fold like a house of cards, wouldn't it?
No, I don't know, Scrappy.
Just that little bit on the side. It's got a weak spot, though, hasn't it?
No. Flat-backed.
No?
Strong.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Flat-backed and strong. Bernabeu. Boom.
Borussia Dortmund, I feel like, could do well.
Put up a fight, but in the end, it's just going to take too many blows.
Sorry, Signal Iduna. From San Siro.
San Siro would turn, you know, the spiral staircase.
They
could become weapons.
Oh, they would
like Sir Kill-A-Lot in Robot Wars.
Yeah, exactly like this.
Sir Kill-A-Lot.
It's marched across the continent now, San Siro has. It's picked Camp Nou up. It's fucking gorilla pressing Camp Nou. It's got it above its head like this.
That's what
San Siro is.
It would win. Great point.
When you see it in the distance, it even... as it's sort of fetishized, and Italian football is sort of, you know, people talk about it as though it's this godlike place where actually a lot of the, you know, a lot of the games are underattended and there's a lot of issues really. San Siro is fucking mind blowing.
It's just an architectural wonder. And, you know, I suppose a lot of things don't get to last nowadays. And a lot of the other architectural wonders are always like places of worship and things like that where you might be, you might not want to go.
Yeah. Well, I think that the interior probably does need updating. The stairs that go up to pitch level, they feel like you're walking through a decrepit school changing room.
Yeah.
With tiny, tiny windows.
I quite like that though.
It's brilliant.
But saying that, I don't miss the old main stand at Anfield, where it was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. Like, it was disgusting. The new one's nice. You can get squid and stuff like that in it.
You know, you get to pitch level and it's the Champions League semi-final and everyone's still smoking joints as you walk through. And it's iconic. It does feel special when you walk up to it. It feels special when you walk into it. On the way out, because the queue down into Metro was so big. I was on my own, actually, by the time of full-time whistle. And I was like, right, do I just go and join the queue?
I know what you did.
I just had three beers.
You did a slam poetry. You did an impromptu poetry session, didn't you?
I had three beers on my own, just fucking walking around. Bought a half and half scarf, the only half scarf I'll ever buy.
I've got a rasping, like, fluoro Inter Milan scarf I got from outside the San Siro as well. Because when we were watching Football Italia as a kid, my brother always, like, you know, he would be AC and I'd be Inter.
Oh, really?
This is quite funny, actually. I reckon I waited outside just chatting to people. I'd had sort of 3-4 pints by this point.
Oh,
I was piling them.
Giddy from the
just chatting. I actually did some interviews with both sets of fans.
Did you?
And I've still got them on my phone. And I was like, as the queue went back down, I actually bumped into someone I knew as well. As the queue went down, I got, rather than getting the metro, I got one of the like line bike equivalents. And I cycled about 45 minutes back to where I was staying.
Did you?
Yeah, and as I got close back to where I was staying, it was like midnight.
Best place to see a city, isn't it? Second best way to see a city.
Yeah.
Cycle.
I was like, do you know what? I could have another beer.
Yeah. This sounds like a great night.
So I purposely switched switched the route and went through a little bit called Loreto, where I knew that there would be some bars open. Yeah. Anyway, there was a bar open on the corner and loads of people sat outside drinking and smoking. Loads of people sat inside drinking and I was like, great, I'll park my bike over there and I'll walk into this bar and I'll grab a beer inside and I'll come back outside and sit on my own. And I put the bike back on the side of the pavement, walked over to the cafe, and I couldn't quite work out where the door was, but I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So I just walked over as if, like, you know, full pelt walk, as if I was walking straight into a bar, and just bang,
against the window.
Smashed into a glass window. And everyone was just like, oh!
one of my favourite ever...
I had a cap on as well and my hood up. I just fucking 2D slapped into it. Zecco scores a great volley in that game. But the goal he scores, I was there when it happened. Ball whipped in. He out-muscles AC Milan defender, gets there first, and an amazing left foot volley first time.
In the Champions League semi-final. This is
Champions League semi-final. Fans go mad. They get to the final. I think he only plays the first sort of 60 minutes. Comes off for Lukaku, who's returned from Chelsea. But they get to their first Champions League final since 2010. And again, Zecco is sort of spearhead. He's adored by Inter fans, absolutely adored by them. I think he scored another 10 league goals that year and maybe five other in cup competitions. But if you speak to Inter fans, I spoke to someone this morning, he just said he's one of the most underrated strikers of his generation. And I think that when he was signed, obviously the big signing announcement, and fans are naturally excited when you sign a goal scorer, but I think they were a little bit like, oh, we've got an old bloke coming across. But he's only old by number, isn't he? And he scored loads of goals for them, catapulted them into this new Inter Milan era. They're going to win the league this year. And that's only a year after he left.
So
he was a big part of that formation and that sort of
pushing them on.
If you go into the comments, there's lots of thank you, Eden, a great man, a great player. It would be difficult to replace you. I wish you the best when you go to Turkey. Thanks, Eden. You've never scored a banal goal. Good luck for the future. For me, always black and blue. Like other players before you, you are part of our big family.
Is it? I've never known this. It's banal, isn't it? Not banal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Banal, yeah.
I pronounce a lot of words wrong.
I would have said banal, but then I heard someone else say banal, and I was like, fuck me, I've been wrong with it.
And I mean,
it's the Midlands, James. We didn't have the best growing. We didn't have the best upbringing. We were dragged up.
Yeah, we were dragged up. The last thing I will say is that he's now gone to Fenerbahce.
He's banging him in there as well, isn't he?
Absolutely banging him in there. I think he might even be 38 now.
Two quiz questions for you then, very quickly, to end this, about Edin Dzeko.
Yeah.
As of today, in his 838 club games, how many goals has he scored? Within the nearest 20 wins.
Cool.
838 club appearances. He's currently, this season, got 22 and 37 for Fenerbahce.
291?
Seb's going with 291. James, what's your answer?
I'll go 375.
James Bird wins. It's 358.
Woo!
And second, Brucey Bonus, and I'm going to ask you to buzz for this. Old school buzzer noises at the ready. In his 134 games for Bosnia and Herzegovina, how many goals has Edin Dzeko scored?
46.
No, 65.
Correct. Bang on the money.
The 33-year-old's done it.
Do you know who this is? It's that lad dancing in the Romanian techno club.
Yes, I know.
And a great way to finish an adventure in clubland. Bit of techno dancing. Great one, James. Enjoyed that very much. Thank you.
All right, I'm Charlie Cooper. You might recognise me from BBC Show This Country, but I'm here to tell you how much I love Mundial magazine. For me, it's the fanzine of football, documenting the best of football culture forever. I'm very proud to admit I've been a long-term subscriber of Mundial for years now. But if you subscribe, you don't just get the magazine, right? You get loads of other perks, too many to mention, in fact. So join Club Mundial at mundialmag.com.
Mascots of the world,
unite and take over.
It gets worse.
I think that was all right.
It gets worse. It's more like a fucking frog. In Mascots of the World, unite and take over. A bit of a different way of doing it this week, in that I remembered that I was got quite obsessed by this brilliant animated image that the J-League released a couple of years ago. So it might not be right up to date now, but it's basically pictures and the names with an animated map of Japan of all the mascots from the J-League.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's so many to go at here. I would say my favourite is probably Grampus Kun for Nagoya Grampus, who's the orca. And really, because I saw that orca take out that great white recently and run off with its liver in its mouth.
Absolutely incredible. I was about to say I've been watching a lot of orca videos.
Well, it said the whole bay stank of shark's liver. They're going after them for their liver.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Liver King.
Well, you wouldn't, would you? Every week you say I didn't know this. Like, you didn't know almond butter existed till I told you 2 weeks ago. He was like, what?
Well, why would he? He's only got one taste bud. Why would you need to know about almond butter?
Yeah, but like, I was like, oh, I've switched to almond butter instead of peanut. He was like, what? You get almond butter?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I suppose you can get any nut butter, can't you?
Yeah.
What I thought might be nice is if you pick one each and I'll tell you a few facts about them.
Okay. Well, I was...
Let's start with you, Seb.
I was going to go with the Grampus Kun, just because obviously...
Don't call him a cunt.
Me and you... Just, it says Grampus Kun.
Just because I'd never heard of orcas before.
Obviously, you're very good. Obviously, that chimes with someone like me and you, obviously, with Gary Lineker going over there.
Don't fucking mention my name with his.
Right. But anyway, it was like, even back then, like, 13-year-old kid going, what? They've got a whale on. Anyway, I'm going to go with, there's a cow here with what looks like an admiral hat on. Movi from Vissel Kobe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the cow is Iniesta's right up my street.
Well, he's an anthropomorphic cow, obviously. Yeah. With an admiral's
hat. With an admiral hat, see?
But apparently, previous to the takeover, he had a Viking helmet.
Oh. Yeah, it's definitely the admiral hat, obviously, given my Navy boarding school background, definitely jumped out at me. And the fact that he's a cow.
As many things did at your naval boarding school.
Yes, yes.
That's why you don't like the dark.
Very good.
Ah, yes, the mascot is a cow named Movi because...
Go on.
I should have known this.
Go on.
It references the city's fame as the home of Kobe beef.
Ah.
What do you know about Kobe beef, Seb?
That it's expensive?
Yes.
Correct. Why is it expensive?
Not sure. Is it the type of grass they eat?
No, not just that. It's more the husbandry techniques they use. It's
husbandry techniques. I've just been to Somerset for a weekend, so this should be interesting.
Oh, dear.
Famously give them massages.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They drink beer. And the it's the marbling of the fat with Kobe beef, which is... and if you've never eaten it, you should try it.
They drink beer.
Have you eaten it?
They drink beer and they get massages.
Yeah.
That is...
Do you not know that?
The cows do.
That is incredible.
No.
See?
I thought you were a foodie.
Yeah, I thought you were a foodie.
I know, it's not bloody Italian, is it? If it's gnocchi, tell me about some... I'll tell you all about gnocchi.
I would... would never describe myself as a foodie. I would say I'm someone who loves food.
You subscribe to a food
loves
newsletter?
Loves food.
Foodie. You said you're a foodie before.
I've never used that phrase.
Self-proclaimed foodie.
No.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a foodie. One of the first things you ever said to me.
I've never used that.
Anyway, moving on. James, should we talk about a mascot?
Yeah. Well, Wintoso from Seigen Tosu, he actually featured in the magazine before. I should have said they, and I'm not going to gender Wintoso.
No.
I would like some information about this sexy, sexy little sort of flamingo bird that is the mascot of Kyoto Sanga FC called Persicon. Something very cabaret about Persicon.
Name Per. How am I spelling it?
Persakun. Persicon.
A pair of phoenixes.
Ah.
Oh, there's two of them.
The main colour is purple instead of red, based on the main colour of the club. I don't think we're going to get a lot here. Ah, but they are from Kyoto, which is Japan's ancient imperial capital city.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Their nicknames are Purple Sanga.
Talk to me about this little goblin, Ray Kun at Kashiwa Reysol.
He has the look of a dirty little goblin about
with
him.
With one finger raised.
With one, yeah, he looks...
Where's that finger going, Seb?
He looks up for mischief, that's all I can say.
Where do you think he wants to put that finger?
I don't know.
Wow. Ray Kun.
Yeah.
He's simply the young king of the sun. He's not a goblin.
Ah!
He's a sun king.
He's a sun king. Oh! Look at it. Yeah, his finger. He has got mischief in his mind somewhere along the line.
A man of mischief.
A man of mischief, but a man of the sun. It's very important.
I want you to play Shag, Marry, Avoid with Dole Kun, Redia, and Shikau.
Right.
So Dole Kun is...
what is Dole?
Oh, this will go down well. Seb, what did you do at work today? Oh, well, Rebecca, I decided which...
No, exactly.
Which of these three cartoon Japanese mascots I most wanted to have sex with.
Dole-kun is a fish owl.
A fish owl? I mean...
What do you think they do,
hench.
Seb?
He's hench. Look at him. You've got to avoid him. out of those three, you've got to avoid him because he's got quite a stern look on his face. That serious owl look that some of the owls have.
I think Dolcom would look after you very nicely, Seb.
Yeah.
Just what would be really wise and mate, that's the thing.
Drive you around.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
Teach you not to be scared of ferries.
Yeah. Teach me not to be scared of ferries.
So then you've got Redia.
Yeah.
From Uara Red Diamonds. It's a wolf.
I was going to ask this because a green wolf.
Yeah.
This one's green. Green wolf, interesting. Well, I think, again, it looks a bit too serious and a bit too bolshy, should I say. So probably...
So another avoid.
Just No, not avoid. Maybe just a quick one.
A quick one with the green wolf.
Okay, so you're avoiding the fish owl?
Yeah.
I thought James made a very good point. That owl would look after you.
No, I think I'm still... Yeah, he looks fierce.
All right, well, Kashima Antlers speaks for itself.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a deer.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Wholesome. Much more wholesome than the other two.
And he could do loads of jokes, couldn't he?
What?
Yeah. What'd you call Seb White in the sack? No idea. There's a bit of information about Grampus.
Go on.
So it says Grampus is an artificial Grampus dolphin, but like, it's, you know, it's obviously an orca, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an orca, yeah.
Yes.
Grampus Kun has a wife, a son and a daughter.
Yeah.
And he's also struck a bit of a bloody friendship with the mascot of Shimzu S-Pulse, Paul.
Really?
They've released a book together about going out for lunch, interviewing each other, introducing themselves and talking about their hometowns.
Pal-chan.
Him and Pal-chan?
Yeah.
They look like a lot of fun to me.
Couple of muckers?
Yeah, couple of muckers.
You go down the dolphin pub, who's there holding up the bar? Grampus, Kun and Paul.
That's they really brought out a book together.
Couple of tequilas, Grampus.
Yeah, no danger.
Yeah.
Which of these would you be most scared of fighting, James?
Let's have a little look now. Wintoso's cool, me and him are Chris. I don't like the fact that King Belly from Shonen Belmare has got a trident. Don't like that at all.
Yeah, there's...
Dolcon, amphibious, he could take me into the water, he could take me into the skies. Wouldn't deal well with that. But I think I would be most scared of this little angry bee.
Yeah.
Avicun from Avispa Fukuoka.
Yeah.
It's got a very, very sharp weapon.
Is that hornet?
It's clearly got a stinger. Could be a hornet. And I'm actually, James Bird is actually allergic to wasp stings.
Oh, yeah. I'm allergic to bee stings.
Yeah. Yeah. I got stung at my year 7 science fair and cried.
And did it
go? I cried like a child.
Did you?
I reckon I could take every fucker on there. Right, in a square go.
Yeah, a square go, yes.
Apart from this bastard seagull from Yokohama F. Marino's down in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at first I thought it was Ed the Duck.
Look at the chest. Yeah, yeah. Look at the chest.
Look at the chest on it. What is Marino's cunt benching? Bet he's got a hell of a guillotine press on him.
More than you, I reckon.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. It's one of my weakest exercises, actually.
What is benching? A bench press.
I can tell you what, he's definitely skipped leg day.
Well, exactly, yeah. He's your modern man, isn't he? I bet you. Actually, you know what? Maybe I could take him. Yeah. I bet he'd be
getting him with the gym terminology and skip leg day.
He'll be full of fucking piss and huling, won't he?
Yeah.
Has not a proper meal or a proper shit for about 9 months, Marino's cunt. No wonder he's so fucking angry.
It's full of liquid.
Piss and hule.
Yeah, full of piss and hule. Him and Stephen Bartlett.
There's some characters there, isn't there?
There's some characters.
Well, to be briefly serious about it, Japan has very, very strong visual identity, doesn't it, in everything that it does. So it doesn't surprise me.
A wonderful place. Too much city, I think, for you, Birdo Tokyo. You couldn't spook around like you do elsewhere.
I'm not just a full-time spooker.
90% of the time. And you've only reduced that 10% because you're a daddy.
Come on.
I've never been, but I'd love to go, yeah, obviously.
You couldn't go.
I just absorb the culture.
Confusing. Too confusing. Too much.
Tall. Too tall.
People would be taking pictures of me.
You'd be like a kaiju, yeah, like a Godzilla.
I had that in Delhi.
You would?
Yeah. Loads of people were coming up to me and asking for a picture.
Kaiju.
And I was like, and the fixer, I said to the...
You didn't have any trousers on.
I said to the fixer, why is that? He said, it's just because you're tall and you've got blonde
We've never
hair.
Seen one that goes that far to the left before. Okay, moving on. 101 things to do in football before you die is Seb White. And you know what? I quite like this, Seb. What are we doing?
What are we doing? Right. My thing this week is to go and watch a game, but only watch one player.
Oh, I like player watch.
Exactly. A bit like that. So I did this. This is fresh in my mind because I did this recently on non-league day. One of my good friends, his son was playing for the opposition.
And you're not allowed back in that ground, are you?
No, I am.
Have you seen that bloke over there?
No. It wasn't that. It was to go and see, actually, rather than go and watch Hampton, I thought it would be nice to go and do something a bit different. It was his. So he was playing right back for a team called Binfield against Leatherhead.
Fucking Binfield.
And which is a place just near Bracknell.
Yeah.
They're not having a great time of it. They look like they're trying to fight against relegation, but they were playing
Leatherhead. What league is this in, Sam?
This is in the league, two leagues below Hampton. My dad's mate, Charlie, had been at Chelsea Academy and stuff like that and just fell out of love with football, but then was at the Hampton Academy and he came on as a sub for Hampton and stuff like that.
So oh, nice.
But he's a really technically brilliant player and he's only 18. So he's playing right back, but he's a centre midfielder normally and he's been chucked in at right back. And Mark, his dad's like, bloody hell, he's not a right back. So there's a bit of jeopardy there, but they're giving him game time because he hadn't played for 6 weeks. So we go and stand along the side because obviously we're going to watch him more than the other two teams. So we go and stand on the touchline right next to him. So you watch the game.
So why did you decide to only watch him? Did you tell his dad you were going to do it or did you just decide to do it?
No. Well, he said he was going to go and watch his son, Charlie. And I said, I'm just going to watch him because I'm not that bothered about what happens in the game. I'm just going to watch this one player because I like him as well. Like, Charlie's a really good kid. And, you know, I've seen a lot of non-league football, but to see someone you know out there in the muck and bullets of non-league football, because it is pretty full on. And it's fair to say it was a baptism of fire because Leatherhead were on form. They were third in the league. So
who was he up against? Did they have some exciting left winger?
They had a couple of good, really good wingers. Actually, the man of the match ended up being the left winger. But that wasn't necessarily because Charlie hadn't performed very well. It was more that they were the better team. It's funny, you'll just get drift and your eyes just stay there and you're watching him, you're seeing where he runs, you're seeing where he moves, you're seeing where if he's pressing, you're thinking in your head, go press, and all silly things like that. It's almost like you're playing a computer game. Nice. And you're that player. And it was really interesting, but
Jesus, I've seen you play FIFA, you press the wrong buttons
all
the time.
Well, I know, yeah. And you can be hypocritical, obviously, because you're concentrating, you want him to do, and again, I wanted him to do well because it was Mark's son. And
yeah.
I know he's a good kid. And he's a good player, but, you know, being chucked in at right back again.
So when you're watching Ava,
yeah.
You just watch the team, you don't just focus on her?
No, I do, but I think I'm almost too invested in that, I would say. I'm not watching it from a skill level. I'm watching to see if she's enjoying it. Because I don't think, you know,
here,
he's playing non-league football. This kid who's technically brilliant, you know, being at Chelsea Academy, got all the skills. I just want to see him, how it fares in the non-league.
Yeah, because world. I was just trying to think then. I mean, I started coaching Zach quite early in his football journey, but I was just thinking back to when I used to go and watch him for school and some of the early ones. I probably did focus on him so I could give him some pointers and that afterwards.
But yeah, a little bit. But yeah, I just think, again, maybe as she gets a bit older and even better, which she is, then maybe that would be different. But you just watch, and like, I remember, I just forgot where I was, and he did a slide tackle and I cheered it. You know, like everyone, like the people around me going, who's this weird?
Oh, it's Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. and you sort of, you know, they lost 2-0. In actual fact, in second half, they played really well. And he had a couple of chances, but he was so tired. And again, he hadn't played football for 6 weeks. So yeah. He was in at the deep end. And, you know, his passing wasn't quite on it and stuff like that. But it was just a genuinely nice experience and a genuinely fun experience. And different as well. And I think you don't have to go and do this with people you know. Go and do this with a really good player.
I like this. This really reminds me, because I think my dad does this. My dad loves to choose an average player.
Was his favourite.
Yeah, and say that they were the best on the pitch. So I think my dad, I mean, not to say that Matt Doherty is an average player, he's been brilliant for Wolves in various different guises.
Yeah, but when you've got Jota...
My dad will come away from that 4-1 win and he'll go, Matt Doherty, man of the match. Did you watch him? Did you watch the way he played? Yeah. So I think my dad does that quite a lot. And the other thing I wanted to add onto this is, you know, a fairly... this isn't a very niche reference, but the Zidane film with the Mogwai soundtrack, which is, you know, I think that it's difficult to watch on your own on a laptop. I think if you watch it with your mates, or if you watch it as part of an installation, the Design Museum had it in a room and they had it sort of on three walls so that you felt like you were in the game with Zidane.
Cool, isn't it?
Just every time he touched the ball, but the whole game is on Zidane. And you felt like you were sort of almost being man-marked by him or man-marking him. It was a really, really interesting way to experience it.
I've done it at all levels, but the player I remember doing it with more than once, and it's sticking in my mind the most, who's very much in vogue at the moment, was Xavi Alonso.
Ah.
And it was just fucking mesmeric. yeah. to sit near the halfway line and sort of watch him.
Perfect spot, yeah.
Watch him, you know, he doesn't leave the centre circle a lot.
Yeah.
Apart from to maybe occasionally drop out in between the centre halves or occasionally, you know, he'd stride forward. But just a studying how to play that centre midfield role without looking like you're exerting effort. But all the effort is done before the camera comes on you to be in the right position. I think that's what I found. Yeah. And I'd have loved to have done it with someone like a Busquets or someone like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like now you see more clips of him coming out, don't you, Busquets, from training when he's just rinsing
and stuff like that. Yeah, it's definitely worth doing. Yeah, well, you don't have to do one player the whole game. Do one player 15 minutes.
Do you know who's great? Do you know who's great to just watch, to isolate and watch? Adama Traore.
Different reasons.
Yes.
Completely different reasons.
But with Xavi Alonso, and it's something I was thinking about recently, I've been thinking about the phrase work of art a lot because it's something that is said less. People just say art, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm. But the work of art has made me think that because the actual art is all the work you don't see. Like a magazine is a work of art. All the art's gone on. They get to pick up the finished product, which is the work of it. And I think watching someone like Xabi Alonso off the ball made me realise that what he was doing was a work of art.
Sounds thematic and discerning.
Yeah, like, I've been learning from one of the best, haven't I, Seb?
That's
anyway, great. Moving on. Seb, that was great. Tommy said he did it with message for PSG at Old Trafford, but he's not here. So
could have been good, that.
He can't talk about that.
Alright, Statman Dave here. You may know me from such things as that Peter Crouch podcast, the BBC, and being all over the internet. I spend a lot of my time looking at numbers, and that's why sometimes I need to read some good old words. That's why I look forward to receiving The Hat-Trick, a weekly football newsletter from Monday Owl. Stories about heroes and villains, love and hate, last-minute winners, mad shirts, all delivered to your inbox. Sign up to The Hat-Trick today at mondayowlmag.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ins and outs, outs and ins. I am going to... this could be fun. James Bird, your ins.
Yeah. Decathlon.
The event?
The outdoor store.
Oh. Well, not just outdoor, is it? It sells everything.
Oh, yeah. I went there first thing, bank holiday Friday morning, 9 a.m.
Where?
The one in Surrey Quays?
To buy open at 9 a.m, was it?
Opened at 9 a.m, yep. I was there by 10 past.
Where was Mathilde?
Where's Mathilde? At home with Chechi.
Why the fucking hell is he doing this?
Well, the reason I was there was to buy my daughter her first bike. It was her second birthday.
Aww.
But I went in and was just like, okay, this is me now.
So much tat.
I am going to be a hiking, camping, full high-vis cycling... continental
that.
European dad now.
Yeah,
straight away, I took a photo of like a 3-man tent that came up in 2 seconds from its little fucking circle packaging. Sent it to Mathilde, was like, we're going camping.
Water pissing through it.
We're going camping this summer. She was like, what do you mean? What do you mean we're going? I was like, Mathilde, it unloads in 2 seconds.
I can't imagine she's a camper. Down. Decathlon in. Seb.
I'd love to see your face. That time you saw your dad in Asda.
it was Sainsbury's. Yeah, I was in there for an hour.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's good. I've got a golf waterproof from there.
Almost bought myself a new table tennis bat. Do I need one? No, I've already got three.
Yeah, and you can't play with any of them.
Yeah.
Seb.
Getting out in the sticks. I went to...
Do you know where you should go?
Decathlon. But no, I didn't go via Decathlon. I went out in the sticks, went out in the countryside.
Where?
Down in Somerset.
Whereabouts?
Just outside, well, a village called South Peverton and the peace. James mentioned it recently in just getting out there. The peace.
I've been there.
I know, I live in a...
Peverton, I've been there. Yeah, wedding.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah. I live in a nice part of London, so it is quite quiet and things like that, but just going somewhere like that and just all you can hear is birdsong and sheeps and fucking... It's amazing. Amazing.
What did it sound like, the birdsong?
Oh, all sorts.
Go on, just do one. No, let's do one. No. Seb, just do one bird.
No. Can you do a bird impression, James? You seem like you want to. Well, you wouldn't see an owl in
the day,
would
it? It's
not an owl, it's a dove.
A dove? No chance.
Fucking pigeon.
That is a...
You'd be a pigeon if you were a bird. I went down to Rye on Good Friday to see Matt Sellers, who's moved down there. And we went to the Nature Reserve to go for a walk. And he says he's going to get into twitching. They've got some hides down there that you can go into. And I tell you what, I might go. I said Seb very nearly got into this for a bit.
He was talking to me about...
Then he just went back to non-league football. But
so he's got a buzzard in his back garden, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. But I don't think it's a buzzard because I kept saying to him, there's a pair? And he went, no. I said, no, they're always a nesting pair.
Yeah.
Unless this one has just found its own territory after recently being born. Because quite often at this time of year, you'll see the nesting pair teaching the young to fly. Mm. I got quite obsessed with some nesting pair of buzzards over the back of us a few years ago.
Oh, amazing.
If you need any equipment.
Decathlon. It'll break the...
Do you know what the email does their press releases quite a bit?
Might in, and I wish Assad was here to talk about this.
He's actually just him arrive.
Or Tommy, yeah, but he can't come in yet. Is Eddie Abu, or Abu, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. If you don't know who Eddie Abu is, James Natty does know. Eddie Abu is a food and fitness influencer, would probably be what people would describe him as, but he's gone out and fella in his 60s. He's banned from all major supermarkets. Because he walks in and tells you what's wrong with all the food in there.
Does he? And
so, yeah, he's the type of bloke who has two meals a day. One is six chicken thighs and eight eggs. And the next one, he's been winding people up saying his dessert is beef liver and feta.
He loves eggs, doesn't he?
He loves eggs. But yeah, people keep saying petition to change his name to Eggy Abu. But he was Mr. Britain and stuff like that. He posted a clip the other day of him on They Think It's All Over. You know, they used to do the touching round.
It was
It was just him in a posing pouch with Gower and Lee Hurst. Touching him up. Anyway, but like the serious note is we do need people like that in society, the eccentrics who tell us what's wrong with everything and letting people know that even the things you don't think is full of sugar is actually full of sugar. That's his mission. But he's fucking hilarious with it. So
I'd love to know this.
Yeah, so Tesco's, he has to go in undercover and shit. He does, yeah. And two ones that he stood out for me recently is just before Easter, he just walked in and he just went... It came up on the caption, it said hot cross bun cake, and he just walked in and went, hot cross cunt. And then he posted one yesterday.
That's fucking great.
He posted one yesterday. Me and Zach send them. I communicate with Zach and Assad just through Eddie Abu videos, really. And one yesterday, he put two pictures of himself next to each other.
Yeah.
And he said, in the left one, I had like sleep apnea, fucking depression. Number three was something else. Number four was something else. Number five, brackets, total cunt. The next photo, number five. I ain't giving that up for no one. And he's there to expose the truth. But it's just the way he does it. The other night, he blended up some cooked chicken, some olives and peanut butter into a delicious smoothie for himself. He was just drinking it and people are going fucking bananas.
Disgusting.
Oh, that gives me the shivers, but he sounds funny.
But have you seen the Nick he's in for 65?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sensational.
Who's the weirdo?
Yeah.
You, slave to your Weetabix already.
I don't even eat Weetabix.
You do?
You're sure
you have the leftovers of Chechis every morning?
Yeah.
I sometimes have. I wouldn't say I'm a slave to the Weetabix.
You are?
Just absolute slander.
You and Seb, usual. You're big gluten, big sugar. In. Outs. I'm going to do my out very quickly. Running for a bus because I had to do it this morning. Ooh. Not something I do often, but my good lady wife needed the car, and It was pissing it down, so I couldn't walk to the station, which is a nice like 45-minute walk, which I quite like to do sometimes. Yeah. Just an edifice.
Hand up like
this. Yeah, an edifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came round the corner as I was running down the road. I was waving like this, and he saw it late, so he had to brake late past the stop. Then I had to stop because he went into this massive puddle, which if I'd have carried on running would have covered me. And I just went to the bus driver. I said, bloody hell, mate, nothing like running for a bus to liven you up in the morning. And he went, never done it. Okay. Single to the station, out.
Me and my brother were always late for our school bus. We'd always be fucking chasing down the wing mirror like this.
No. Owen, I don't
you
believe it.
Seb.
Using the train out in the sticks. Obviously we're very lucky where we
live. Now you're going to moan about the thing you've just been talking about. That's what you're doing here.
No. This was to get a train somewhere else. But yeah, it was just carnage. And then when it turned up, it was two carriages. And it's just like, why can't people just have some common sense?
Blame bloody beaching, Seb.
Well, I know that as well. But the train services are just, it makes you again realise how lucky we are.
A bit boring, a bit moany, but out, I suppose. James.
The fucking bike shed.
What do you mean?
I live in a first floor flat with tiny stairs. There's no space.
Oh, not the cool motorcycle place in Shoreditch.
Nope.
Where I got tattooed.
Nope. Nope. We've got a bike that I use to take Chechi to nursery and back, and there's no space in the flat for it. So about 3 years
it's quite
ago,
small though.
You can get you could get one of those things on the wall. That's what people do.
I know, but
so there is space in the flat for it. You're just not committed to DIY, are you?
Complete bollocks. I'd like to finish mine out.
He's painted the window shut. Come on.
And so about 3 years ago, we put our name down on one of the public sort of bike sheds.
You have to put your name down for them?
Yeah, because there's a huge waiting list for them. So there's
didn't I know this?
On all the roads in Hackney, there's like two or three. Yeah, a lot of people live in flats, so the council put space for you to put your name down and have your bike in a bike shed, which is really good.
No, it's good. It's
great.
Good.
And there's
it's
two or three on every road. So we put ours down on a couple of them like 3 or 4 years ago. But the one that we've put down is about a 4-minute walk away from the house. Yeah. So now, every time that I want to go and pick someone up, I have to leave the house and then walk in the rain or walk wherever it's the bike shed, unlock the bike shed, unlock it from inside the bike shed, put it down. Then when I get back, I'm like, oh, brilliant, we can just go straight into the house. No, I've got to go back to the bike shed. The first time I went to it was at night. And I went over to open it and it was jammed. So I called Matilda. I was like, Matilda, it won't open. And she was like, oh, just put it in further. It'll do it. Anyway, it turns out the lock was actually broken to the bike shed. So I lifted it up and took my bike out and then tried to close it. Because she was like, you can just slam it to close it. So it's like 9:30 at night, pissing it down, dark. It's right outside someone else's house. And I'm just slamming this bike shed, the roof to it, trying to shut it. And I knew it was going to happen.
The person came out
and was like, is that your bike? And it's a bike that we share with a fucking kid's seat on it. I was like, yes, it's my bike. Why would I steal this lump of... No one would even buy this bike. Yes, it's my bike.
You know what you need, James?
What?
A Brompton.
Seb, I was going to text you this morning. I saw a bloke walking his dog on a Brompton. He was cycling the Brompton and had his dog by the side. I thought that is a wonderful use of...
No, it's not.
...of that bike. Well, I thought you'd both like that because I know how.
That's awful.
That's awful.
Both string them up.
The dog looks so happy.
Yeah, but it's not. Have you ever seen like?
How do you know?
You know when you just see dogs knocking around, right? Do you know what they don't do? Just run in a straight line for an hour.
How do you know it was an hour? Just a little run around the block. The dog looks so happy.
How does the dog get a chance to stop and sniff?
I'm sure he knows the signs that his own dog.
Why are you against the things I try and tell you? Do you want me to come round with a drill and a couple of things?
We've got no space on the walls.
Not even
down a couple of the nudes.
Balcony? Have you got a balcony?
No.
A balcony? No. He doesn't live in fucking Rome.
Yet.
There you are. See? That's...
This has been Reminding You I Love Football. I've been Owen Blackhurst. He's been Goblaro. He's been Whitinho Santos. That all seems a very long time ago now. I've been Dictatezo. We've been at Spiritland. It's very quiet out there today, which is nice. And we've got an issue out which you should go and buy. If you haven't yet, you're probably not going to buy now, but we can keep on asking. This has been episode 49. It's a big one to come.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Monday Owl and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.